Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this evening's teleseminar called Free the Inner Voice. My name is Damien Sen, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the call this evening. In a few moments from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, Nikki Slade. But before I do, please allow me to share how this call will work this evening, particularly if this is your first peopleyoushouldmeet.com call that you've tuned into. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Nikki a whole series of different questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own, but the vast majority of questions will have actually been submitted in through the site by you, our listeners. Now, I actually first met Nikki probably around just over 3 years ago through a mutual friend of ours, and synchronistically, our paths crossed again more recently, around a year or so ago, again through another mutual friend, JC Mack, who has also been a regular guest on the People You Should Meet program. And Nikki and I have stayed in touch since then, and our friendship continues to grow, and I'm very, very inspired by the body of work she's actually sharing with the world. Self-expression and really connecting with the true self is, I guess, both of those areas are real passions of mine, and it's a topic that I'm very, very excited about exploring this evening. Now, Nikki is a pioneer in the world of self-expression. She's developed a whole body of work called Voice Work, and it's a real great pleasure to actually have Nikki on the show this evening to go a little bit more deeply into this area. So welcome, Nikki.
Thank you, Damien, and I'd like to thank you firstly, Damien, for inviting me and giving the opportunity to share, and just to acknowledge all of you. And I see there are people from all over the world, and I just want to say thank you for your ears, and I will do my best to flow in this moment with whatever serves. Thank you, everybody.
Awesome, Nikki. Now, Nikki, I just thought I'd actually kick us off at the very top. The whole concept of freeing the inner voice really aroused lots of interest over the week, and I was just wondering if you could actually share for our listeners at home what exactly does it mean to free your inner voice?
Well, I guess firstly what I'd like to say is that I spent a number of years wondering what my true voice was. I was trying to find myself through a series of relationships, through my school experience, through modeling myself on others. And I had a lot of experience of not feeling connected to my inner voice. But I didn't know at the same time that that was actually what I was looking for. And I knew that there was something missing. There was almost like a hole in the soul. And that was a personal experience. I don't blame it on anything outside in the world. But I was definitely seeking something. And there was a dryness. And I thought, interestingly, that I would find it in becoming other people. So I had a long career as an actor. And I felt connected when I was playing somebody else. But actually being Nikki was something that I was still trying to find. Who was I really? And I knew that somehow it was to do with the inner feeling, being connected to a feeling of feeling grounded, feeling an inner warmth, and I didn't know where to find that. And initially, I think as many people can relate, you know, we try lots of things like, you know, the path of addiction for some, that's definitely something I explored in an earlier stage of my life. And then in a very, very extraordinary period of my life, in 1989, I came across the path of chanting. And I had never come across this before. And I was introduced by a colleague I was working with, and I went along, and within a few months I had the most beautiful experience that I'd ever had, and that was a pure opening of my heart that was so extraordinary that it literally turned my perception of life around forever. And I realized that everything that I'd been looking for out there was all along deep inside me. And what I was looking for was a vibrational connection. a core connection. And it's a bit like trying to describe what does mango juice taste like. If you haven't tasted it, and for some of you that may not be your thing, but if you actually drink from your own inner self, as happened to me in that experience of chanting, all the answers are there. There's no more questions. There's just this deep, deep fulfillment where suddenly through revelations you know what to say, you know where to go, and you don't have that longing to know who you are anymore. Now, saying that, I'm not an enlightened being. I'm having a human experience like the rest of us on this call. Perhaps some of you are enlightened. However, I can never, ever doubt that experience because it is the frame for everything in my life now. So when my personality self, my small self, little Nikki as it were, is in doubt, I have a witness inside that says, hang on a minute, Nikki, you're getting lost, you're losing your nerve here, you're embarrassed, you're whatever it is, but I know that's not who I am. So again, I could talk for hours, but what I can say to anybody listening is when you drink from your own inner self, and the root for me has been chanting and sound vibration, all the questions in my experience that I had got spontaneously answered.
That's amazing. And did it actually take you long to adjust to these new levels of awareness that actually came through for you, Nikki?
No, it was like walking from one room into another, like I'd been in a very dark room that was of my own projection into a room where there was light. And you know, I'll never forget the day, as long as I live, of walking in Battersea Park and looking at everyone's faces and the nature on that day. And I was crying with joy because I understood, like in a click, that we are all one, that there is no separation, that this inner voice belongs to all of us. It is for everyone. It's the source itself. So adjusting to it was delicious because it was like coming home. You know, I imagine coming home from your holiday and going to the cozy parts of your home. You just feel like you've come home, and it feels very natural and organic to be there.
Mm. You actually had that feeling walking around the park this morning, Hampstead Heath, but just saw it for the first time, even though it's something that I do on a near daily basis, but to go away and then return to it, it was just absolutely glorious this morning, looking at the heath sort of moving through its cycle.
Yes, and you know, they say in the scriptures, I mean, I'm not as such a religious person, although I embrace anyone who is, but there's a saying in the scriptures about having a log in your eye, and when that log is removed, the veil is lifted, everything looks as it's truly meant to be, which is perfectly imperfect or imperfectly perfect, whichever way you want to look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Nikki, sort of extending this into your work, how did you then take this awareness into the work that you do through the voice?
That's a really good one. Well, then the inner voice started to guide me. Now, I don't mean like I had this little person in my pocket that was constantly speaking to me, if anyone is confused by what I'm saying, but it was like a deep, deep knowing, a deep, deep intuition that was guiding me to the right people at the right time, the right hour, and giving me signs as to where my path was going. Now, I announced that I was an actress, and that's how I earned my living, and I did pretty well as an average actress in that field. But my interest and my commitment to traveling to act began to diminish slowly but surely. And I began to get a calling to offer the opportunity of bringing people together in one space to explore their voice. Now, the small self would say, well, who am I to do this? And then the inner voice would say, well, we'll show you. And then what would happen was I'd be guided to certain teachers who were already working with sound in the world. I'd like to name Chloe Goodchild, for example. She came very, very strongly at a certain juncture. But even still, I was still being guided to follow, if you like, the integration of my life experience that far and the awakening that I'd had, and to just start very, very simply. And that's what I did. I started very, very simply in a health center in Brixton. And interestingly enough, it was bang opposite Brixton Prison, which was, in a way, a metaphor for, you know, the inner imprisonment and the outer imprisonment. And you could say at times we've all felt like prisoners, even though it appears like we're free. What is freedom, really? And we would begin to explore through, you know, thanks to the influence of one of my earlier teachers, Chris James, some of you may know, you know, voice toning. And we would start there. But then through revelations, I would be guided to give certain exercises, partner work, movement work started to come in. And the work would just shift more and more as time went on, as I started to expand with what, if you like, wisdom wanted to impart through, if you like, me as a vehicle. You know, it's taken me to many extraordinary places. But really, this is for everybody. There is nobody exempt from this, because we all have a voice. I did, as it happens, get to work in Wandsworth Prison much later on in my journey, with men who had committed crimes at the impact of addiction. And it was such a privilege to be able to go and spend time with those guys in a cell that was, like, so claustrophobic, you know, there wasn't room to swing a cat, and that was the space that I was given to do the session with them. And, you know, having gone through all of the kind of laughter you can imagine and the cynicism they had at first, but just being a complete stand for them to tap what I had tapped on the inside, because I knew that I had been no freer than them, really. We were chanting by the end of the session, a beautiful chant, Kali Durga Namo Namah, which is about courageousness and full self-expression in an hour of darkness. And, you know, the whole wing was ringing and singing. And I really got the metaphor then that it's not where we are, it's how we are inside that really matters. And I don't know whether you want me to talk about other areas where I work at this point, but I'll hand over back to you, Damien, just in case.
Yeah, well, yes, and so many amazing things came through there, Nikki. I just wanted to pick on a few of them, but, like, I loved just full self-expression in the hour of darkness. I thought that was beautiful, and also, I guess, really the whole process of just beginning very simply, and the path emerging, or the revelations coming through, and the work expanding, and also noted just the fact that you did actually put steps on that path, and then teachers started to emerge as well. Just reminded me very much of the process of the hero's journey, and how when you actually just move forward in faith, that all that you need actually begins to emerge. And is that how you found your whole journey into this work?
Yes, I mean, you know, that classic saying that I'm sure a lot of people know of, when the student's ready, the teacher appears. And I've been blessed with the very best teachers, and you know, I really get that I'm a cog in a great divine wheel, or universal wheel, whatever language resonates with you.
Great, that's amazing. Now, for people at home, I guess, looking for their voice, or their signature note, or their core authentic sound, I was just wondering if you could actually describe what that core sound is, and how people may actually be able to start navigating back towards it.
Okay, well, it's a great question. And again, as I say, I don't sit here at the end of the phone as the gospel on staff, and I there are no definitive answers. But what I would say is that the more we go into that core sound, the more revelations that are for you individually, personally, will come. So it's not like there's a prescription. There is very much an unfolding from within that will happen in a unique way for you. However, for those of you who don't know the term primordial sound, this is the realm. This is like the primordial ground. You could say original sound. You know, in many texts it says in the beginning was the word and the word was, you know, and I hear Om in that. And Om, you know, if we chanted nothing else but Om all day long, everything would be revealed to us. However, we're human beings. We're spiritual beings having a human experience, and the intellect comes in and says, that's too simple, wants more activity, you know. And so because we are in this delightful human experience, you know, to sing a call and response chant, a kirtan, as is known, where you've got primordial syllables, original syllables, to chant in call and response, for example, Om Namah Shivaya. Om is the oneness. Namah means to honor, and Shivaya, the inner self of my own understanding, you know. And there are many thousands of original chants that as you allow them to resound in your body, they reveal back to you the nature that you already are, not the nature you're going to attain, but they open up that connection to the homeland. The primordial ground is the homeland. And it's so interesting because, you know, I work with addicts, actually, at the Priory Hospital once a week, you know, and there are absolute broad spectrum of people there. And, you know, they come at first, and there's a cynicism as to what is this chanting, what is this singing, and especially, you know, guys who are used to drinking up the pub and all of that. But, you know, the beauty of it is that once they begin, the intelligence, the supreme nature, like when we're seeing the sea, the ocean for the first time, the soul is moved. And, you know, grown men cry in the chant. You know, women who are so trapped and suppressed release. People begin to dance. They have the freedom to express themselves because innately chanting reveals and sound reveals, voice reveals that who we are in truth is free. We are not bound. We are not bound beings.
I like this, yeah, just the whole notion of just connecting with the supreme intelligence and removing the layers and... Also, the whole concept of the homeland and returning home to our true divine nature is also a whole area that's of real importance to me and the work that I do as well. But it's just lovely to hear you describe that, Nikki.
Yes, and also that in paradox, we never left the home ground. We just thought we had.
Excellent. Okay, now the question I wanted to ask now, Nikki, was like this whole resonance or this sound and actually uncovering your core note or your signature note also must have a deep impact on the vibration of the being. And I was just wondering if you could actually share how that vibration then actually helps people to attract things that are in alignment or in harmony with who they are as well.
Well, you could say, I mean, a lot of current experts on the law of attraction, I love the work of Abraham Hicks, for example, but, you know, our feeling is the point of attraction. And the delicious thing I find about sound is that it lifts the inner feeling to the highest. Now, I was a seeker of the highest feeling. I wouldn't settle for anything else than ecstasy and bliss, and you know, in my early life I sought those in all the dark places. But you know, as we come into that highest attunement with that place of gorgeousness, heart-opening bliss, then inevitably we begin to attract beings and places and opportunities that are on that frequency, a bit like a radio band wave. So you put out a sound, and then what comes back, a bit like two dolphins singing in the sea, is a dolphin that matches that sound. So If you make an intention, and this is really important, I know the work of Wayne Dyer and people are very, very hot on intention, and in every group or session I do, I always create the space for intention, to intend, to tend within. It's like tending the garden. So today, what do I choose to sow in this garden, and how will I express it? So, you know, for example, you know, attracting an opportunity or attracting a mate, when you start to begin feeling like that's already happened on a virtual level, at the level of resonance, it begins to show up. And, you know, through revelations, I'm shown things about these, what sometimes appear as theories, to the extent that I've recently created a course called Resonate Your Dreams, and people are coming back with some delightful feedback as to the things that are beginning to manifest in their lives through having their resonance in, as it were. So when you tuned to an A, for example, you're going to get A people coming into your life. You know, when you're tuned to a B, you'll get B people. And there's no right or wrong in this world. It's just what experience you would love to have. And, you know, I'm in this particular subject, I'm specifically inspired, if people are interested, by the book The Music of Life, by a great Sufi saint called Hazrat Inayat Khan. You know, and he basically says that this is a universal orchestra that we are on in this planet, that we all are unique in our instrument. And so if you're a piccolo, there is no point in trying to be like a trombone. And this is when we often this is often when we feel discordant. You know, we think, why am I not, you know, feeling in my zone with these trombone players? And we tend to start criticizing the trombone section. But instead of it, saying how delightful these trombones are, but I'm going to go and find my piccolos and, you know, and allow that music to resound. And, you know, he says if we don't tune to who we truly are, then the universe is a little less well off without our truth resounding, because we do have a very unique contribution, each and every one of us, in our sound and, you know, and the courage to sing it in the world. And by that, I don't just mean la la la. I mean the inner attunement of how wonderful we are. And as I speak, I don't speak as the expert. I'm on the court learning and unfolding and being a human blob like the rest of us. But the beauty is that, you know, I hear this voice that says, okay, you need to go and speak to that person. You need to go and be inspired by that great coach over there. You know, listen to who I give you to help you tune up even more strongly today.
That's a beautiful concept, the whole universal orchestra, and how we're here to actually perform in harmony with everyone else. Yeah, it's a really stunning thought.
Yeah, I love it. I really, you know, it was funny. I one of the areas of my work is in business conferences, and the very first one by grace, and it really was by grace because I certainly didn't plan it, was at Ashridge Business College. I was asked to create the finale of a conference called Finding Your Leadership Voice. And they had an excerpt, you know, of We Are All Instruments of an Orchestra. And, you know, it was such a wonderful thing to do, to be with a group of business delegates who, you know, by the end I forgot that they were business people. They were just delightful souls, just longing to express their note universally. And I had at one point the men on one side of the room, the women on the other, and then there was a mix and match. We had men holding hands and sounding, and it all sounds wacko from the outside, but when you're actually in the zone and everyone's doing it, it's phenomenal, and you just think, we are an orchestra, we really are, you know.
Mm. And Nikki, like you've touched on like the great diversity of your work, from working in Wandsworth Prison to working in addiction clinics to working in business.
Mm.
Is there any terrain where it doesn't work, or is it something that everyone can play with and embrace and really, as you said, move back to home or help them come home?
Well, there's two I'd like to mention that were wonderful opportunities. And again, there's a phrase that I like, you know, when you speak into the awareness of the person that you're communicating with. So you can't use certain language in certain environments immediately because it's too off the map, you know. So I've spoken in a very collective way today because, you know, I think there are a lot of people who probably researched the site and looked in and resonate to a certain extent already. But when you're going into a business where perhaps the boss has decided that it's a wonderful idea to have this, but the delegates don't know anything about it, you have to warm things in a bit. And, you know, I was invited to Deutsche Bank on London Wall to create, if you like, an energetic alignment for the day and also to break the ice, because these were like 36 bankers from all over the world coming together in the space for the first time. And they had never met each other, even though they'd spoken to each other across seas. So what I did is I closely listened to the person who's emceeing, and, you know, for example, on that day, they were given the idea that, you know, if you're sitting in the benches watching the game, you're not actually on the court playing the game in business. The key thing is to get onto the pitch and play full out. And I think we can all relate to that in life. So that was a golden start for me. So I could use all sorts of soccer imagery, you know, get, you know what I mean? And these were a lot of boys there and they could really relate to soccer. I don't say that all boys are into soccer, but, you know, that was a great start for me. So you use just real down-to-earth plonking language, you know, you don't have to be airy-fairy about it. And when they know you've got a sense of humor and you're not taking yourself anally seriously, people tend to let go and open up. And by the end, we had a Canadian guy. By the way, the lady who said, does this ever go to Canada? Yes, if somebody hosts. I just wanted to acknowledge that lady. Okay. But there was a Canadian guy break dancing in the middle of the circle, getting everybody dancing in Essence of Canada. Then we had Essence of Italy and Essence of La France. And it was just a ton of fun. And I just thought, you know, why does work just involve sitting and, you know, brain work? You know, why can't we be in the body once a day all together in the sound? And the other example, more recently, and this was a real boon for getting the word out there in business, but I did a team build for MC Saatchi, and, you know, who most people know. And it was an amazing experience working with a group of ad guys and women who just joyfully engaged in the process and loved what it did to their energy bodies. They said they had more energy and vitality, and, you know, they could have worked double hours that day because they felt so fresh and alive and related with each other. And, you know, one lady said that in 1 hour she felt more connected to the team than in 6 months of being in an open plan office with them.
Wow.
And in gratitude to the session, they basically offered to do a consultation with me about how they could brand the work for me to make it easier to communicate. Because as you can imagine, if you haven't tried Coca-Cola or mango juice, how do you explain it? You know, this is the thing. And but anyway, after a lot of meetings and a lot of time, they came up with the name Nikki Slade Chemistry at Work, identifying that really what's important with teams and beings is the chemistry between one another. So covering areas like relatedness, covering areas like alignment, like when there's conflict, you know, can we agree to disagree and come into harmony despite, like vision setting is another area, and also creative release, especially in the media when people, you know, they really want to tap the zone of creative ideas. You know, sound is for everybody, whether you're in a working costume, whether you're a mum, whether you're in prison, you know, whoever you are, you're a human being and you deserve to get in touch with your inner mate.
Excellent. Well said. Now, Nikki, I mentioned earlier on we've had questions come in from all around the world, and I thought I just might ask a few of them now.
And
I'm going to kick us off with Helen from the United Kingdom. And Helen asks, Nikki, how has your life changed from connecting with your own true inner voice?
The fundamental answer to that question, Helen, is that I don't rely on people, places, and things anymore to the degree that I used to for fulfillment. I most of the time enjoy being with Nikki, especially after I've been chanting. I just love the exquisite feeling that exists when connected to my inner world. And then it's a bonus to have fabulous friends and to have a fabulous business team and fabulous colleagues. But it's not a prerequisite. There are areas where I'm growing, you know, because I'm human being. So, you know, I think most of us, you know, in the area of intimate relationship, that's the toughest area of growth. And like anyone, I'm refining in that area. But fundamentally, I'm happy in my own skin. That's what's changed.
Cool. That's a great answer. Okay, this one is actually all the way from South Africa, from Zama. And Zama asks, why is it that society always sees it fit to condition their children instead of letting them discover their own individuality?
Well, you know, again, you know, I wouldn't be able to come up with a political answer on that, but I think just innately, you know, it's like there was an old lady that swallowed a fly. We tend to repeat what's handed down to us like old jumpers, you know, until one day we say, well, I don't really want to wear this jumper. It doesn't really suit me. Who am I really? What jumper suits me? And I think, you know, it's not that society is at fault. I think that society is ignorant, and I don't mean that in a critical way. What I mean by ignorance is when the veil is over our eyes and over our inner senses, in other words, the inner awareness, then we will just function robotically and repeat the patterns of our forefathers. But the key thing to get off, and this is the biggest breakthrough in my life, was that there isn't anybody to blame. We are all our own masters, ultimately. And yes, in an ideal world, children would be given access to their own inner core from a very early age. You know, I've been fortunate enough to see environments where that has happened in a sort of meditation type of environment. But, you know, even still, you know, each one will find their own way. And I think, you know, there is no carte blanche prescription for how to do it. Other than in my experience, the answers come from within. So if you are fortunate enough to be having a child and to have tapped that connection, then of course that's going to be passed on to a child. You know, I mean, one of my colleagues has a beautiful child, and, you know, she works very consciously with her. And there's footage of her, in fact, on a clip of a song I wrote called Perfect Child. And, you know, and I just appreciated, my goodness, the bliss of what this child's been given so very, very young is really moving to see, you know. But, you know, as I say, I don't have the definitive answer, but it's a great question.
Great. Okay, this one is from Lucille, who also comes from South Africa. Mm-hmm. And Lucille asks, what to do if you know you're not the most tactful person, but know that when you're being politically correct, it is as if you're not being real? I've noticed that when I myself, warts and all, people can relate better, but it opens one up to critique from some quarters.
Well, two things came there. I do think honesty is the best policy in the end, because, you know, if we're, you know, pretending to be a trombone, as I said earlier, and we're really a piccolo, we're not really doing that trombone any service by trying to pretend that we're like them and communicating the way that they do. One of the things that my meditation teacher said once about the gateways of speech, some of you may know these, but I think it's probably a good rule of thumb, which is it kind? Is it true? Is it necessary? And is it the right time to say it? Because sometimes there is an honest thing to communicate, but if we sledgehammer in a moment that's perhaps insensitive, then we can cause more mess. But I think your point in being true to yourself and not trying to get it right by being politically correct, you know, sometimes may upset people, but maybe you're the very vehicle that's going to give them the gift of an awakening around a certain area. I think it's the intention behind it, the way you say it, that has the greatest impact. I think sledgehammer probably doesn't work, but an alignment with your clarity would.
Cool. That's a great answer. This one, there's two very, very similar questions. I'm going to sort of merge them into one. One's from Andre in Brazil, and the other one came from Uzian in France. And I'll just ask Uzian's question. Is there a special way to recognize the inner voice? How do we differentiate the true inner voice from the ego?
Well, in my experience, and again, this is my experience, and it was also a great piece of coaching I once received, but, you know, and he said to me once, you know, Nikki, the truth will set you free. If it's not the truth, you won't feel free in the experience. All I know is that when I'm in that zone, and it's usually after having chanted for some time, I feel free. And what happens is words start to arise from within me as if they're riding on a fountain. And it's almost like they're words that are being given by blessing. And I don't feel that I have to prove anything. I don't feel that I have to defend anything. As soon as I get into that defended place or approval seeking, and believe you me, those two things come up for me, I know that my small self, my ego, my identity, whatever language works for you, is in the picture somewhere. And so, you know, I get that there's a level of letting go and surrender and lining up, because, you know, often the great sages and teachers say that in full surrender, our speech, we're like flutes through which the universe just loves to communicate, through which the universe loves to resound. And we are all unique in that way. So the more we can let go of our self-critique and self-flagellation and just know that we are whole, perfect, and free, then speaking becomes a joy.
I love the whole concept of full surrender. I was actually co-facilitating a workshop with a good friend of mine, and he was actually talking about how surrender is actually a position of real power. And often the associations we commonly have is that surrender is a position of weakness. But I just love that whole concept where when we're surrendering to life and making ourselves available to life, we're actually really in that true power of who we are.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I remember, you know, my lovely friend and teacher, Chloe Goodchild, she has the phrase, "Who sings me?" She doesn't say, "I sing." She says, "Who sings me?" And when she says that, I often see the, you know, the image of the ocean and open caves like mouths, and the sea goes into the cave, fills it up and then goes out again. But the cave is not actually making the sea move back and forth. It's just surrendering itself for the time that the sea wants to be there, you know. And that's really the metaphor I love around voice and sound. When people feel afraid that they can't produce the right sound, you allow the right sound for you. That's what's important.
So it certainly resonates with another philosophy of mine as well. Just like, are we actually playing life, or is life actually playing us? But I just love that. Who sings me?
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Yeah, got
great.
It.
Okay, so this is a question from Sally in New Zealand. And Sally asks, I would love a breakout in the area of joy, fulfillment, connectedness, and discovering the playful, radiant me. And having all those things, and having all those that I know get to relax and enjoy this as well.
Yeah. So it's the question, how do you do that?
Yeah, so how do you actually live that out? Because you're actually living that out, Nikki.
Well, you know, as I say, when I'm in the zone and I go in and out of the zone, like we all do, but the access for the zone for me is the power of chanting, that wellspring, that nectar within. You know, after a Saturday night leading a chant up at Tri Yoga, I just have the best time. In fact, me and a colleague, we went out to a gig in a really bassy pub afterwards one night, and we just had the most fantastic time because, you know, there was just a zing going on inside. So I used to think that joy was something you had to research or learn or somehow, I don't know, get a that there must be something you could read about it that would give it to you. But it's a vibration. So to go to the source where all of where joy originally comes from, which is the source within, you won't have to worry how to do it. It will just arise spontaneously. You know, I mean, all the great saints talk about love, don't they? And it's like, I used to think I have to learn how to love, but no, it's like you go to the place where love spontaneously arises. And yeah, I hope that adds something to your question.
I love it. The place where love spontaneously arrives. Okay, now we actually had a lot of questions come in, Nikki, around the whole areas of addiction and trauma as well. And often these experiences lodge themselves physically in the body or in the throat and actually hamper or impede our true self-expression. So, and rather than actually ask a specific question that has come in, I just wanted to broadly throw that over to you and just ask, how can sound work actually help heal trauma within people and also help heal chronic addictions as well?
Well, you know, there is a pain body, and the beautiful thing about sound is it takes us beyond the pain body to being identified with the emotional body, the mental body. There is a body that we can tap that is beyond all of that. And from there, we can create a completely new possibility for life. And I can say this hand on heart every week when I'm working with addicts, and I have been one, so I do speak from experience. I have no shame in expressing that, is that they come in often pretty distraught, you know, like nothing is possible, everything is dark. And they make an intention in the session, and then we begin to chant, and then we begin to move and sound, and they cannot believe that they are dancing stone cold sober at 4 o'clock in an art room on a Wednesday afternoon. And they are genuinely, and these are guys that have issues around being cool, some of them, and it all goes out the window because they cannot deny that they're in a realm or a zone that they had never tapped before, and they suddenly saying, "Where's the pain?" And they say, "Hey, Nick, this is like coming up on a pill." They say, "You know, because you know exactly. You know, they suddenly get the link." You see, addicts are asking an incredible question. They're really saying, "Where is the bliss?" And they'd be right, because what is the point without connection? In a connection. So you know, and this is not to be flippant about the deep traumas that happens in life, by absolutely no means, but it is a great comfort to know that there is a realm inside, there is a place, as Chloe Goodshaw says, where I can go, where nowhere else can go there for me. It's a deep place within of great joy and tranquility and peace.
And I guess, Nikki, with all the work that you've done over the years with such a wide array of different people, have you found anyone who was open and willing to experience life not be able to navigate towards that bliss? Or is it as soon as someone's ready and they're willing that bliss can actually enter?
I've found that with most of the clients, and even if, you know, they have it like... it's still dark. I get that we're all in our perfect place in the chrysalis. We're like chrysalis emerging, and there is never anything going wrong. We are emerging at our own rate. And, you know, listen, this isn't a quick fix solution. It's just sometimes a glimpse. It's just a flash sometimes of, that felt like who I truly am. If I could expand that place moment by moment by moment, wow, then suddenly I'd have a whole hour like that, or a whole afternoon like that, or a whole day, you know. In recovery from addiction, there's a saying, just for today, you know, just for today. That's all I need to consider. How can I connect today to that joy within?
That's nice. Just never get back to the now.
Exactly.
Cool, Nikki. Well, we've got time for one more question, and I'm going to ask the one. I know this is a challenge for many people, particularly on the spiritual path, in terms of how to navigate both the spiritual and the material realms. And this question actually comes from Brenda in the United States. And Brenda asks, so many people feel that you can't be spiritual and material at the same time. How do you answer that?
That's such a great question. You know, I really, really like that question. And, you know, one of the reasons I was drawn to it, Brenda, was, in fact, I was watching that movie, The Secret, which some of you have watched, I'm sure, and I showed it to my mother, and my father walked in, and he was shocked at how, in his perception, the film came across very materialistically. And I got into his world and looked at it from his point of view, and I thought, I could really get how he would see that, you know, like creating bicycles and cars and de-dum-de-dum-de-dum. You know, however, I would say, and again, I'm not the definitive answer, but what comes to me to say is motivation. It's like, if the motivation behind everything we pursue is for the highest benefit of ourselves and the people around us, that's the thing. You know, is it going to benefit anyone else other than me? Well, if I'm joyous and happy, of course that's going to benefit the nearest and dearest. If I'm miserable and in debt and struggling, I don't know how joyful I'm going to be. So to have big dreams and to line up with them and to bring them through the law of attraction, you know, is a wonderful thing. And what else was I going to say about material? I mean, think of the source itself, the divine source. There is nobody more wealthy, as my teacher says, than the divine itself. And we are all one with that divine energy. So we're the wealthiest beings on the planet. The thing is, have we realized it yet? Have we realized how innately wealthy we are? And that's why it's so joyful to have teachers like, you know, the Abraham Hicks and many others who are really opening up that subject on the planet at the moment and giving us a direct access. You know, it doesn't matter which route up the mountain you take, but let's just get that we are all absolutely wealthy, prosperous, free, and that there is a zone inside that when we tap it, and I choose to tap it through the sound, where we can begin to create anything we want for ourselves and for our lives abundantly.
Absolutely. I agree with those sentiments wholeheartedly, Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Nikki, we're coming up to the end of our hour, and we've covered such a rich terrain, and I'm sure that there are people on this call that would actually love to find out more about your work and actually stay in contact with you. So I was just wondering if you could actually share, first of all, how people can actually connect with you, and also the types of work that or ways that you work that people might be able to have access to.
Yeah, I'd be delighted to. Well, the main website, of course, is www.freetheinnervoice.com. There will also be a site opening in the coming months, nikkislade.com, which covers chemistry at work. So for all teams and individuals in the workplace who are interested in that level of the work, there's weekly chanting. People would like to come along at Tri Yoga in North London on the last Sunday of the month at Jiva Mukti Yoga. If you love to dance and sound, you could come and do a day of sound and body resonance next Saturday in West London with myself and the lovely Sarah Davis, who's a Five Rhythms practitioner. I'm about to launch the Inner and Outer Makeover. Now, this is a big opportunity for people 35 and up who are concerned about the lines appearing on their face. Don't use Botox. Do use cosmetic acupuncture with my delightful colleague Sue Kalinchenska. And then, so the lines don't keep coming back, come and sound and open up the heart so you glow from within. You can do one-to-one work with me if you choose, and there is ongoing general public work all clearly listed on the website. There are CDs to chant along with if you're the other side of the world. We can send them to you from the CD store. And I'd finally like to announce a product that will be launched in the next few months called Sing Your I Ching. We'll put up an expression of interest page in this, but I'm working with the fabulous Nick Haynes, who's a wonderful Eastern medicine doctor, working around our chi and if you're into wealth dynamics, and I won't go into that, but you can Google it, how to line up with your wealth profile through the power of sound and through the power of your word. And we're very excited about this project. And before I sign off, I would also like to acknowledge my team, without whom none of these things that I'm up to would be possible. So there's a whole back office involved, and some of them are on the call. So I just want to acknowledge everyone there, and also to my dear friend Michael Husbands, who's just a dream in my life, and many, many others. Consider yourselves thanked. And Damien, it's just been gorgeous. I feel like I'm in your front room suddenly.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
The technology to have people tune in from all around the world. And often say that the nature of our tribes are actually changing. We're no longer geographically bound to just hang out and commune with the people that are closest to us geographically. But I guess with the wonders of technology, we can actually really reach out and connect with the people who have a similar mindset. And I have no doubt whatsoever that people have been totally enriched by everything that you've had to share this evening, Nikki. I know for me, just some of the words that you spoke, it was almost like a poetry emotion just emerging out of you. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to just acknowledge you and just say like how grateful I am for having spent the last hour with you, but also just acknowledge you for really going deep into this work and actually standing forward and sharing it with the world and holding a space for everyone to transform and to really connect with their true authentic sound and their true authentic self.
Can I just also, I just want to say that I'm very, very touched by the global aspect of this call, and just to have so many souls all the way around the world. And, I wish I could see all your faces, but I felt your energy on the call, and just thank you for your interest. And, I am so up for traveling. I love to travel. So if you would like me in Canada, I will come, and I do have Canadian clients or wherever in the world. Anything is possible these days. And I think, Damien, I think you said you'd kindly put up some of these details I've mentioned on your site for a week or so. Is that right? How's that
Absolutely,
how it works?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, well, the call has been recorded this evening, so we will be making it available for everyone to tune in at their leisure and to share with their friends and family as well. So, and we will also include all those details that you've just mentioned there, Nikki, as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, I say Om Shanti Shanti, which means great peace to all and gratitude. Thank you.
Fantastic. And I was just to close it all off, Nikki, I was just wondering if you had any final words for people who are maybe sitting on the fence, just wondering whether or not they should emerge and really connect with that part of themselves that's just waiting to be found and expressed.
Mm. Well, once I was approached by the great nutritionist Patrick Holford, who wrote the Optimum Nutrition Bible, I think, amongst others, And I've done a lot of work with children and sound and expression in my time. And he said, I've got a great title for a song, Nikki. Why don't you write it? It's called Heaven Is Inside You. And that's my passing words to everyone here, that connect with your sound and you'll discover that heaven is inside you.
That's beautiful. What a beautiful way to finish. So, yeah, I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank everyone at home as well. I know, like, I was eagerly awaiting the return of people you should meet after taking a lovely month out in Greece over the past month. But it's just wonderful to reconnect with you all and to share this space with you wherever you are in the world. So I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank you and acknowledge you for being such a vital ingredient for this global dialogue. Great. So that's all we have for this evening. Once again, thank you very much, Nikki Slade, for your time this evening, and thank you, everyone at home.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.